If you have your Bibles with you, if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 28 this morning, we're going to have a reading, Matthew chapter 28. And would you mind standing, please? Would you mind standing? Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised. As he said, come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead. And indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests everything that had happened. After the priests had assembled with the elders, they devised a plan to give a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, "You must say his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story is still told among the Jews to this day. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Charles Spurgeon, the renowned preacher, once said this: "The resurrection of Jesus is the cornerstone of our faith. It is the decisive work of God in Christ, which assures us of his victory over sin and death and certifies his rule, sovereign rule over the world." The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a pivotal event that should evoke a deep sense of gratitude within us. It is the ultimate demonstration of God's love and power, a moment forever that forever shifted the trajectory of human history. As we delve into the story of Mary Magdalene, we can glean insights into the profound sense of thankfulness that the resurrection can inspire in us. Mary Magdalene was one of the first witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus. Imagine her awe and gratitude as she encountered the risen Christ. She had been with Jesus during his ministry, had witnessed his crucifixion, and now she was among the first to see him resurrected. The magnitude of this event must have stirred in her an overwhelming sense of thankfulness. This thankfulness was not just for the miracles, the miracle of Jesus' resurrection itself, but also for what it signified. The resurrection was a confirmation of Jesus' divinity and the fulfillment of God's promise of salvation. It was a testament to God's power over death, a beacon of hope for eternal life. For Mary Magdalene and all believers, the resurrection is a reason to be profoundly thankful. In our own lives, the resurrection should inspire a similar sense of gratitude. We may not have been there to witness the event like Mary Magdalene, but its implications are just as significant for us. The resurrection is the foundation of our faith, the assurance of our salvation, and the promise of eternal life. It is a reminder of God's immense love for us, a love so great that he gave his one and only Son to conquer sin and death on our behalf. Moreover, the resurrection is a source of hope and strength in our daily lives. It assures us that no matter what challenges we face, we serve a God who has power over death itself. This knowledge should fill us with gratitude and inspire us to live our lives in a way that honors God. Jesus has power over death itself. The resurrection also calls us to be thankful for the community of believers that we are part of. We are gathered here this morning to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, to remember what he did and look forward to his return. Just as Mary Magdalene was not alone in her experience, we too are part of a community of faith. We share in the joy of the resurrection and we support each other in our faith journey. This sense of community is another reason for us to be thankful. We're not just together because we gather together just for a Sunday because we are like-minded or likeness. We gather together because Jesus has been resurrected. Because Jesus is our Savior. Because we believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be and who Scripture proclaims him to be. He is Lord and Savior. He is Messiah. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is the Alpha, the Omega. He is God. Amen? However, being thankful is not always easy. There are times when we may struggle with doubt, with fear, with disappointment, and there surely has been. In these moments, it's important to remember the resurrection. Just as it transformed Mary Magdalene's life, it can transform ours. The resurrection is a reminder of God's faithfulness and his power to bring about change. It is a source of hope and a reason to be thankful, even in the midst of challenges. Even like the lady that we just watched give her testimony. She is Hebrew. She is Jewish. She's born into the traditions of the Jewish religion. And she wasn't allowed to say Yeshua. She wasn't allowed to pronounce the name Jesus. She didn't even understand that Jesus was her long-promised Messiah. And then she tells the story of helping a lady edit her book. And she slowly discovers that the stories that are in this book that this lady is writing are stories from her own Torah, from her own Old Testament. And wait a second, who is this? And it's referring back to Jesus. And she comes and she proclaims Jesus is her Messiah. There's something different about you. I know it. Tell me what it is. Jesus is her Messiah. Is he your Messiah?
Yes, he
is he your risen Lord this morning?
Yeah.
The impact of the resurrection on Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was often misunderstood, misrepresented, but she was one of the most faithful followers of Jesus. She was the first to witness the empty tomb and the risen Christ, a privilege that forever changed her life. Why is that significant? Because she went and testified that Jesus was alive, but she was a woman. And in the Hebrew culture, in Hebrew society, a woman's testimony was not received. It was not to be believed. Only upon the witness of two or three was a witness to be believed. And Jesus chose to reveal himself to who? To a woman, to Mary Magdalene. What a privilege she must have felt. The resurrection of Jesus brought about a radical transformation in Mary Magdalene's understanding of who Jesus was. She had followed him, she had witnessed his miracles, she had heard his teachings. But it was at the empty tomb, in the presence of the angel, and later Jesus himself, that she fully comprehended the divine nature of who Jesus was. She realized that Jesus wasn't just a great teacher or a prophet, but the Son of God who had conquered death. She'd never seen that before. Have you ever seen that before? This revelation was so profound that it compelled her to go and share the news with the disciples, becoming the first evangelist of the resurrection. She carried the first story of Jesus' resurrection. And we read what? The disciples didn't believe her. They didn't believe her. And Jesus appears amongst them, and they still, who is this? This must be an apparition. It must be a ghost. Thomas even goes, I won't believe unless what? I put my hand in his side and I put my fingers in the nail marks in his hands. I won't believe. Mary believes like that. The resurrection of Jesus gave Mary Magdalene a new purpose and a mission. She was entrusted with the message of the resurrection, a message of hope and victory over sin and death. This mission propelled her into a life of bold proclamation that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Messiah, despite the skepticism and disbelief that she initially faced. The resurrection of Jesus provided Mary Magdalene with a deep sense of hope and joy. In the face of loss and despair, the resurrection was a beacon of hope that death was not and is not the end.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It was a joyous affirmation that Jesus had indeed fulfilled his promise of eternal life. The impact of the resurrection on Mary Magdalene is beautifully encapsulated in the words of theologian N.T. Wright. The resurrection completes the inauguration of God's kingdom. It is the decisive event demonstrating that God's kingdom really has been launched on earth as it is in heaven. The message of Easter is that God's new world has been unveiled in Jesus Christ, and that you're now invited to belong to it.
Yes.
What a privilege.
Amen to that.
Just as the resurrection transformed Mary Magdalene's life, it continues to invite us into God's new world, a world marked by hope, joy, and the transformative power of God's love. It challenges us to rethink our understanding of Jesus. It compels us to share the good news and fills us with a joy that transcends our circumstances. The joy that Greg has this morning.
Thanks,
you betcha. The resurrection indeed is the cornerstone of our faith, just as it was for Mary Magdalene. This leads us into our last point. The impact of the resurrection on us today. What impact does the resurrection of your Messiah have on you today? Are you living that way? Are we living that way?
Yes.
Are we living with hope, joy, and faith? And most importantly, love. The resurrection of Jesus is the ultimate demonstration of God's power over sin and death and gives us the assurance that we too will experience resurrection and eternal life. The resurrection of Jesus gives us hope for our own resurrection. As believers, we have the assurance that death is not the end. Hallelujah. Just as Jesus was raised from the dead, we too will be raised to eternal life. This hope gives us the courage to face the trials and tribulations of this life, knowing that our future is secure in Christ.
Amen.
If you want assurance of this, go home and read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Apostle Paul will lay it right on the line for you. The Apostle Paul was who? He was Saul. And Saul did what? He persecuted the church. He persecuted the believers. He was not a witness to the resurrection of Jesus himself. He put believers and faith followers to death. But then on the road to Damascus, he was confronted with Jesus himself. And Jesus said, "Saul, why are you persecuting me? I am the Lord." And Saul right there humbled himself. He was blinded. And then he was provided with the gospel, with the witness, the testimony, and he believed. And he became the greatest missionary that the Bible records. He transformed. He was transformed. He believed. He had faith. The impact of the resurrection upon Paul's life. So much so that the old man that he was died. And he was no longer known as Saul, the one who killed Christians, but Paul, the one who saved Christians, believers to Christ. 2, the resurrection of Jesus validates everything he said and did. If Jesus had remained in the grave, we could question his claims and teachings, but his resurrection confirms his identity as the Son of God and validates his teachings. It gives us confidence to trust his words and to follow his teachings. Irregardless of what Dan Brown might say, that he's living with his own family in France somewhere, there has never been any evidence to provide anything contradictory to the resurrection of Christ. The resurrection of Jesus, thirdly, gives us a new perspective on life. It reminds us that this world is not all there is. There is more than this world. There is life beyond this one, a life that is free from pain, from suffering, from death. This perspective helps us to live with an eternal mindset, prioritizing, hopefully, spiritual matters over temporal ones. This world wants us to take us in by what it offers physically, emotionally, and even spiritually. Because the world that we live in is not just a physical world, it's just not an emotional world, but is a spiritual world. It is a spiritual battle. You may not have wanted to come today, but unbeknownst to you, you're in a spiritual battle. The enemy doesn't want you to come here. He doesn't want you to be here. He doesn't want you to hear the truth of God's word, the truth of his resurrection, the truth of his love. Whenever the church gathers on a Sunday, whenever the church gathers together to proclaim and be the body of Christ, the enemy doesn't want you to be part of that. He wants you to stay home. He wants to get you interested in something else, something of more importance. Easter Sunday, Passover Sunday, this is great. We get to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. But there's always been Good Friday. What's the significance of Good Friday? Jesus gave his life on Good Friday. Why? Because of sin. He gave his life for us because we're sinners. We've sinned. We've done wrong. We have evil in our hearts. And that wrath of God stands against sinners because we miss the mark. That's what sin is. We miss his mark. And without Jesus, we can never achieve God's standard of holiness or perfection. But in Jesus, when we receive Jesus and believe in Jesus, we are hidden in him. He cleanses us white as snow. The Holy Spirit comes to live within us, and we become a new creation. And when the Father looks at us, He then sees his son. He looks at us. He doesn't see the sin. He sees his son, because his son died on the cross for our sin. And he was perfect, without sin. So the sacrifice of Christ was received. And we believe that because we have Resurrection Sunday. Jesus rose.
Amen.
The third day. The sacrifice was received. His sacrifice was received. The temple curtain was torn. And we can be at one with God. We have peace with him through the sacrifice, the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The resurrection of Jesus empowers us to live a victorious life. Because Jesus conquered death, we too can conquer the challenges we face in this life. Through resurrection power, we can overcome sin, temptation, every form of evil, walking with and through and in the Holy Spirit. The resurrection of Jesus creates a sense of urgency, hopefully, in us to share the good news with others. Mary Magdalene ran to tell the disciples about Jesus' resurrection. She just didn't walk. She didn't stop at the corner store, sit in the park. She ran to go tell the disciples what had happened. Jesus rose just as he said he would. I've seen him with my own eyes. And they're like, yeah. She insists, no, I've seen him. He is risen. And Jesus tells her, tell them I'll go meet them in Galilee. He's going to meet us in Galilee. Let's go. We'll see. He meets them in Galilee. There's a testimony of the apostles, his disciples, 500 have seen him risen, and he ascends to heaven amongst them. He says, I'm going to a place to prepare for you, so when I come back, you and I will be together. But in the meantime, do what? Share this good news. Share my love. Share my resurrection with the world. Death no longer has its claws on you if you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen?
Yes.
Are we sharing the good news of Jesus' resurrection? It's good news for us, but it's also good news for the world. It's a message of hope and love and eternal life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, overcome with thankfulness. Overcome with awe. Overcome with the testimonies of our young ones this morning. We love you. We worship you. We want to serve you. Father, we pray for Abby and Calvin that your hand would be upon them mightily, that you would guide them into all truth, that they would remain steadfast by your side, that you would defend them, that you would pull your angels around them, and that they would always know you, always follow you, and always love you, Lord Jesus. Be with our young ones. Be a firm foundation for them. Never let them waver. But when you test them, when you give them trials, Holy Spirit, come upon them and give them direction. We pray that your Spirit would be upon them strongly. And upon each one of us as we walk in this world that's not our home, that you created, that we push back the darkness, and that we invite others to be part of your kingdom, that they would know the power of a risen Lord and Savior, that death cannot hold. Death is conquered. Sin is no more. Until the day that you return, Jesus, walk with us by the power of your Spirit. Be with us, be in us, in front of us, behind us, beside us, above us, below us. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus.